Giffords killing six, wounding 12 others.
Victims of the 2011 Tucson shooting, including Giffords, who was struck in the head, are expected in court when Jared Loughner is sentenced today. Under a plea deal, the 24-year-old faces life in prison without the possibility of parole.
Fox News Radio's Jennifer Kuiper. On Wall Street, Dow only down a dozen points. Not too bad after yesterday. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Peco Paladin Yonkers salutes America's troops for their sacrifices. There's no act more noble than giving of yourself for another. As you fight for our freedom, you're in our hearts, thoughts, and daily prayers. Thank you for selfless acts of courage and the sacrifices you've made for our country. We wish you Godspeed, and may God bless all of our troops, and may God bless America. This military tribute from Peco Paladin Yonkers, they're on the air because they care, wishing everyone a happy holiday season.
Under new and top-notch management, Leon's Taxi Service in Larchmont is now Depot Taxi and Limousine Service, managed by Charlie Scott and Maria Valerio, who are known for their extensive experience in the transportation industry. Larchmont's Depot Taxi and Limousine Service acquired new automobiles and access to new stretch limos. Always ready to safely drive you to a wedding, a graduation, a business meeting, an airport, the theater, or just shopping around town, Larchmont's Depot Taxi and Limousine Services welcomes new accounts. If you call them at 914-834-4000, you'll find the number for Larchmont's Depot Taxi will be a number you'll always call when it comes to transportation. Ever reliable. Larchmont's Depot Taxi and Limousine Service is the ultimate in riding with style and with prices which are truly fair. Their drivers are neatly dressed, always anxious to please, and will safely deliver you to your destination. In Larchmont, the number to call, 834-4000.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Here's the weather forecast for today. Most showers and a little bit of snow flurries moving off to the east away from us. We get into some nice weather for today. It'll become partly sunny but breezy. Highs in the upper 40s. Quite a partly cloudy for tonight. Nighttime lows 30 to 35. Sunny weather tomorrow in the lower 50s. Saturday, partial sunshine, upper 50s by Sunday. It looks mostly sunny. And our highs will reach the mid-60s on Veterans Day Sunday. Recapping for today, clouds in the morning giving way to a clearing trend, becoming partly sunny, highs in the upper 40s. I'm Eddie Rogers, Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
Thank you for joining us on 1460 WVOX, America's great community radio station where many different voices are heard in the land. Opinions expressed on our community and open line programs are not necessarily those of the station, its management, or sponsors. As always, we're privileged to amplify the voice of the people here on Vox Populi 1460 and worldwide at WVOX.com for you and yours.
When do you listen?
It's nice to sit back in the car and listen to it while you're driving.
Okay, driving where?
Everywhere.
No reason to reset your preset. Keep it right here. VOX.
1460 WVOX.
Good morning. Welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Lebensold, your host for the series on the natural world, education, and culture, and chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, November 8th, 2012, the 48th day of autumn. And look out the window and look at this fine autumn day. We have lost 3 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 33 since last we met 2 weeks ago. The sun rose at 6:35 this morning. That's 6:35 Eastern Standard Time. We lost daylight time last week. It will set at 4:43 this evening, getting short. The days are getting short. We will have 10 hours and 8 minutes of daylight today. The moon rose at 12:25 this morning. It's up right now. It will set at 1:24 this afternoon. We are 1 day past last quarter, and the next full moon is on November 28th. Sorry, we don't have any tide information today. Go boating at your own peril, but be aware that the tides will rise twice today, as every day. Now, a regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war. May they live on in all of our hearts. Corporal Alex F. Domion, age 21, of Ridgefield Springs, New York. He was with the 2nd Marine Division. He died in a non-combat-related incident in Helmand Province, Afghanistan, on October 31st. Petty Officer Second Class Matthew G. Cantor, age 22, of Gillette, New Jersey. He was a Naval Special Warfare Unit killed in combat in Zabul on November 1st. These two American servicemen were alive when last we met 2 weeks ago. Each death is a great loss to their families and to all Americans. May they live forever in our hearts, and may this feature come to an end in the near future, because there are no more deaths to report. And I'm hopeful that with the re-election of Barack Obama, this war will end and there will be no deaths to report. I look forward to that day when this feature does come to an end, because there are no more deaths. And while we're on the subject, I am joyful that the American people have returned Barack Obama to the presidency. We will all be better off. Many more Americans will have health insurance, which is real health care and which will make a difference in most of our lives. Even those of you who were against the president, who don't like the president for whatever your reasons, you will be better off. You will have better health care. You will have lower taxes, most of you. So you need to look at your own self-interest. The war in Afghanistan will end next year. Taxes will go down for most of us. It's not that there was a tax increase. It's just that the former tax code, which was in place before George W. Bush, will just be restored. You'll recall that he cut taxes for the wealthy. Not for most of you who think of taxes. Oh, my taxes are going up. Yours are not. Just those people who ride around in the big fat cars and go to all the Broadway shows and, you know, and more power to them. They have the money. They should do that, but they should pay as well. They should pay more than we do. So I'm still puzzled by people who do vote against their own interests. So much resistance from people who will save on their taxes, because now the wealthy will be obliged to pay more. If anyone can explain that to me, I'd be very happy. I earn less than $250,000 a year, and I'm happy that the most successful or our most fortunate Americans will take up some of the slack. Fine, my rich friends should pay a little more. I'll tell them that. I do tell them that. Some of them don't like the idea. Some of them say, fine, it's fair. There must be some cuts in spending as well. No problem. Prudent and fair. And we should start with the military budget. Incredibly, there are those who cringe when they hear about military cuts. But the military has not asked for much of the weaponry and ordnance that will be cut. It is the corporations who make this stuff who want to keep it, not the generals, the executives, not the generals, the people who are concerned with bottom line, not fighting wars. The generals want smart, updated weaponry, and they should have it. But to cut out battleships and dinosaur aircraft is like throwing away old shoes or an old gas-guzzling car. Modern warfare is very different, and the military should be equipped with updated materiel, like drone aircraft, very successful, for instance. So what have we got? Tax increase, which is actually returned to the former rate on the wealthy. Recalculate military spending. Sounds like two good ways to improve our fiscal picture. Now we can take Medicare and Medicaid and combine them with the Affordable Health Care Act and come up with a prudent economical health care system where most people are covered in some way. Sounds good. Had the Republicans won the election, affordable health care would be dead. The war in Afghanistan would not end until another war was found to feed the avaricious maw of the military-industrial complex. Okay, that's opinion. I think that's what would have happened. Medicare and Medicaid would be in jeopardy, and Social Security would also be subject to cuts. But the wealthy would keep more of their money while the middle class would keep less of theirs. And that's mostly us, I believe. And perhaps most important, had the Republicans won, we would get one or two Supreme Court justices of the ilk of Clarence Thomas, Antonin Scalia, and Samuel Alito. And nobody needs that. Roe versus Wade would be toast. We have a progressive president. That's good. Fiscal conservatism is valuable, no doubt. But Tea Party members and knee-jerk Republicans don't make the distinction between prudence and dogma. That is why we are all better off, whether you realize it or not, that Barack Obama has been reelected. Thank goodness for that. This would be time for the Culture Corner, my reviews of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, and what have you. Keep in mind that these are my opinions and you have the right to disagree with them, because everyone has the right to be wrong. This would be that time, but I haven't seen anything. So you're off the hook. You don't have the right to be wrong today. But my guest today is Andrew Farnsworth. He's an ornithologist with the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. And don't let the big word throw you. Andrew is a scientist who specializes in and studies birds. A few months ago, we had the director of the lab, John Fitzpatrick, as a guest. Welcome, Andrew Farnsworth.
How are you, Bob?
I'm good. Welcome to the show. Sorry you couldn't make it up here. Andrew was supposed to come to our studio today, but due to the weather, he just stayed home, which is the prudent decision. Okay, Andrew, we just got through a hurricane. Why don't we start with talking about the effect this had on migrating birds and accidental birds who are not usually found in this area. What do you got to say about those?
Sure. So anytime a hurricane comes up to the U.S., birds travel with it. They get caught up in the circulation, and they get taken far afield. Sometimes birds that start maybe hundreds or thousands of miles away in much warmer waters in the Caribbean or the Atlantic sometimes show up in very bizarre inland places where hurricanes come ashore. And Sandy was no exception to that. We saw that in a number of cases, everywhere from the Jersey Shore up to Lake Ontario, and we actually saw quite a number of birds that were displaced and entrained by Sandy. So it was quite an interesting storm, albeit a devastating one.
What did we see up here on the Jersey Shore?
Well, there was a red-billed tropic bird that was brought to a wildlife rehabilitator in Cape May County, which is a Caribbean species that should not really be anywhere near New Jersey.
Really?
Yep.
And it's just because of the hurricane. It just got caught up in the wind and lost its way, or just floated on the currents?
That's right. It probably got caught up in the circulation of the storm somewhere in the southern Caribbean and traveled all the way with the storm up to the Jersey Shore and landed in somebody's backyard when the storm circulation came ashore.
So would it be possible to rehabilitate the bird and then fly him back down and release him in the Caribbean?
It's quite possible. I'm not sure of the results of what happened to this bird, but that has certainly happened before. People bring them in when they're injured, a rehabilitator gets a hold of them, and then the birds get released sometimes several months later back where they're supposed to be.
That's cool. Just the question is, who finances shipping a bird back? Is that just something the airlines do just out of largesse?
It's a good question. I don't know if the top 1% finances it or not, but that's an interesting question. I don't know the answer to that. I'm not sure.
It just occurs to me. I like to look at problems all the way across. Now, there's a bird that appeared in Pennsylvania, the Herald Petrel, which not only doesn't occur here naturally, but it never occurs on land at all. It's what we call a pelagic species. So what happened there?
That's probably very much the same thing. Again, these oceanic birds, when they get caught up in the circulation of the storm, can go really far from the places where they're normally distributed. Herald petrel is a really sort of a southern ocean species. It does sometimes occur in the Gulf Stream off the Carolinas. But as you said, it's an oceanic, it's a pelagic species. So I think if you plot the track of Hurricane Sandy and look where the petrel was found in Pennsylvania, you'll see a very close correlation between those two things.
Okay, Andrew, let's just take a break for a minute. We have to go to a break. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Springfield, New Jersey, Illinois, Massachusetts, Oregon or Essex, England, and roughly 33 others in the United States, or Portland, Maine, Oregon, Texas, Tennessee, Pennsylvania, or New York, and 8 others in the United States, you have logged on to www.wvox.com, and you are listening live. I am Bob Lebensold. My guest is Andrew Farnsworth, and we will be right back.
And national news 3 times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. Stocks are flat on Wall Street a day after a big post-election sell-off. As for jobs,
the number of new applications for unemployment benefits fell by 8,000 last week to a seasonally adjusted total of 355,000 people.
Fox Radio's Steve Taylor.
That's one of the lowest numbers this year. Analysts say maybe it's a sign of an improving job market, but also may reflect unemployment offices that were closed by Hurricane Sandy. The Labor Department says the 4-week average of new applications rose slightly to 370,000.
In the Northeast,
people barely recovering from Superstorm Sandy, and now a cold, heavy, wet blanket of slushy snow delaying the repairs to power lines and setting back the recovery efforts.
Fox Radio's Courtney Keeley and Private First Class Bradley Manning charged with sending government secrets to WikiLeaks, offering to plead guilty to some less serious offenses. Fox News, we report, you decide.
A day in the life of Nourishell.
The sparkling waterfront at Hudson Park, seen from a private plane.
Tree-lined neighborhoods in the North End and Residence Park with stately homes.
Firefighters, cheerleaders, fishermen, events, and activities.
This is Nourishell, and it is now captured in a full-color hardbound book. On October 10th, 2010, dozens of photographers captured Nourishell in photos. 10-10-10.
Sunrise over Isaac Young Middle School. Gardeners at Ward Acres.
People on bicycles and motorcycles downtown. Also, on the water in boats and kayaks. People and places.
Photos taken all on one day. 10-10-10.
Churchgoers after Mass at Blessed Sacrament. Glen Island Park. Businesses and colleges.
North to south, east side to west end, plus the waterfront.
The 10-10-10 book is the perfect holiday gift, plus a wonderful addition to any Nourishell home library. Order the book now at 10-10-10-NR.com for $10 off. Now available for the pre-publication price of $29.95. Free shipping on two books or more. Discount ends on December 7th. Don't delay. All profits from the book will be donated to the Thomas Paine Cottage. Go online to 10-10-10-NR.com to order your copy today. That's 10-10-10-NR.com. In December, the book will also be available at The Curtain Shop at 541 Main Street in Nourishell and Habitat for Humanity. Go online to 10-10-10-NR.com to order your copy today.
The Broadcasters Foundation of America is a remarkable national charity founded many years ago by several enlightened and generous broadcasters, including New York's own Bill O'Shaughnessy. This is Jim Thompson, president of the foundation, and I'd like to salute our friends at WVOX who have been so supportive of our humanitarian mission for lo these many years. For information about our unique mission, go to broadcastersfoundation.org. Broadcasters all over the country will thank you, and so do your friends here at WVOX.
WVOX, broadcasting loud and clear from Westchester. Exciting voices every day and every night at 1460 AM. For information on hosting your own radio show, call David O'Shaughnessy or Judy Fremont at Whitney Media's Westchester headquarters. Find out more about sponsorship opportunities and the influence of this truly unique station where many different voices are heard in the land. Call 914-636-1460. In Westchester, 636-1460. WVOX.
WVOX.
We are back. This is Bob Levinson. The program is Environmentally Sound. My guest is ornithologist Andrew Farnsworth. Welcome back, Andrew.
Thank you, Bob.
We were talking about the Herald Petrel and pelagic species. Now, it's always puzzled me, and I presume many of our readers don't really know what that is. A pelagic species is a species that lives in the ocean and never comes to land. So we got an example of this Herald Petrel, which was found in Pennsylvania. Can you tell us more about pelagic species? How do they survive? Do they land on the water? How do they negotiate the waves? Are they gobbled up by hungry marine animals? Tell us something about pelagic species.
Well, this petrel is an interesting one. So they do come to land extremely rarely, and usually it's only once or twice a year to breed on very remote islands. But during most of the year, this petrel especially, they take advantage of constant wind out in the oceans and do this amazing behavior called dynamic soaring, where they sort of arc up high over the water and then down low and take advantage of aerodynamic properties of wind over the waves to move long distances and basically look for food over really large areas. And some of these petrels are squid specialists, so they feed at night on the water and look for places where squids are coming up at night. So they will feed on the surface of the water, picking at things on the surface, and then move from place to place during the day, taking advantage of this this wind.
So do they land on the water like a duck?
They do, yeah, like a gull, basically. Okay. You'll see them sitting and sort of paddling around on the water. They don't dive. They just peck at things really from the top of the water, at least these petrels.
So they sleep that way as well?
Yeah, they do. They do. They'll roost on the water. That's right, at night.
And are they prey species?
Things will take them, certainly. I think probably a bigger issue for them is actually when they go to these breeding areas, you know, the biggest predator on them is actually on the eggs is probably rats and feral cats. So that's probably the most dangerous time for them.
Really?
Yep.
So when they're out at sea, the chance of a shark or some other hungry fish is probably not their greatest danger.
That's right. I think it happens, but I think it's much, much rarer than the effects of other animals on land, like rats and cats.
Interesting. Now, some accidental species, I think that's the correct term, is it not? When a species, be it a land animal or a fish or a bird, comes into an area, is that what we call them?
Yeah, accidentals, vagrants, people use them interchangeably.
Okay, so accidentals sometimes find themselves here. Now, if no one had found this, let's go back to the red-billed tropic bird, and let's say a couple of them came, a breeding pair together by some coincidence, would they establish a breeding colony here?
It's possible. It's quite possible. I mean, I think it may take more than just a couple to really establish, but there are certainly records of birds that are out of range that show up as pairs that breed successfully and produce young, and then sometimes even show up again the next year, or the young show up again the next year. So, yeah, it could happen. With a bird like that, the tropic bird, it'd probably be pretty rare, but it's certainly a possibility.
But you mean other species could find themselves in that situation and then migrate out and migrate back in?
Yes, that's right.
Wow, that's exciting. Is that possibly what happened with the cattle egrets in this area?
Yeah, I think it probably is. Cattle egret is a European, it's actually a European and Asian species and found in Africa. And probably about 80 or 90 years ago, the first group of them showed up in South America, and over the next 40 to 50 years expanded as far as even central Canada, the coast of Chile and western South America, and it's currently quite a common breeding species in some parts of the U.S. And other parts of Central America and South America. So that is a case, probably, where a flock of these birds, or multiple flocks, came across the Atlantic and founded a new population.
So how do now we know that most egrets, I mean, people who live near the shore know that the great egret and the snowy egret, mm-hmm. and the herons as well, are waders and hunters of fish and crustaceans, right? But cattle egrets hang out with cows. What do they eat? What are their patterns?
They do. They'll go after large insects or really anything they can find. They are known to follow large animals. So in the U.S., there's not too much to follow, or in other parts of South America, other than cows and maybe a few other large things. In Africa, obviously, they're following much larger game. But the game, you know, scares up insects and other things from their path, and the egrets are there waiting, sometimes riding on the backs of the animals.
Yeah, I've seen photos of and I have videos of cattle egrets actually riding the cows.
Very cool.
It is very cool. Now, we have another, I have to call this an accidental species. Those people who know New Rochelle and other places in New York, certainly at Glen Island Park and other places in the New York City area, have noticed in recent years parrots, large flocks of parrots and then smaller flocks. What are they, and how do they come to be here? We don't think of parrots as being a northern species at all.
Yeah, it's an interesting story. So these are monk parakeets, and it's a species that's typically found in really southern South America, Argentina, sort of temperate parts of South America, Argentina and Bolivia, maybe southern Brazil and Paraguay. And that's really a bird that has escaped in a lot of places due to the pet trade. Especially in the 60s and 70s, there were small groups of these birds that escaped, or people released them intentionally, hard to say. And because it's a really temperate species where it normally occurs, it actually has done quite well in a lot of places in the U.S., and New Rochelle is one of those areas. In the last 20 years, the numbers around New Rochelle and up to Stamford, Connecticut, and in around New York City and Jersey have increased tremendously.
There are quite a lot of them. I've seen flocks of about 100 birds.
Yeah, yeah.
But why do I think of parrots and parakeets as being tropical species?
Well, they are tropical species. The largest numbers of species are certainly found in the warm and tropical areas around the globe. But, there are other strategies that birds use, and some can exploit them and move outside of what you typically think of as their habitat. So monk parakeet is one of those that happens to do very well in temperate climates. There used to be a species in North America. America, Carolina parakeet. That
those are extinct now.
That's right. That's been extinct for some time. That probably was just as good at exploiting.
Were they indigenous, or did they also come here some other way?
Nope, that was a native species.
Really?
Yep.
How interesting. Yep. So, of course, penguins are generally thought of as being an Antarctic bird, and yet some reside right on the equator. So I guess
correct.
There are
do
no real rules. Andrew, we have a couple of minutes. Why don't you tell us just in about 2 minutes what the Cornell Ornithology Lab does, what you do there, and about your work.
Sure. Well, the lab does all kinds of things as part of its mission to really use birds as a means of preserving biodiversity. I particularly work on bird migration and this very exciting and fun project called BirdCast. And at BirdCast, we're looking to forecast where, when, and what kind of birds will appear in the U.S., given a whole suite of other things we're trying to use to predict these movements with. So weather variables, people reporting where they're sighting birds, using microphones to record birds calling at night, and factoring all these things into these models that will then produce a bird forecast, very much like what happens with a meteorological forecast.
Well, what fascinated me, as I said, at the seminar that I attended where you gave that lecture, is using the radar, what we think of as Doppler radar for weather, to filter it and somehow get information about the migration of birds and at all hours of the day. Is that an amazing technology, or is that fairly simple and just another use?
You know, it's just another use. It's very cool and amazing to be able to do it, but it's actually fairly simple to do. You know, a person interested in weather or radar could look at the internet and actually, with a little bit of understanding and study, interpret the radar images, the raw radar images, and see birds on them, and insects and bats and all sorts
amazing.
Of other things.
Amazing. Well, Andrew Farnsworth, ornithologist, it's been fascinating talking to you this time and the other times we've spoken, and I look forward to doing it again.
Thank you so much,
Bob. Have a great day.
Thank
you for being here. Okay. Thanks to Andrew Farnsworth for joining us today. Enough of politics already. I'm sure there will be feedback and discussion about this election for months to come, if not years. There are some who don't like Barack Obama, who don't like affordable health care for all, and who don't like people of color, period. Well, you now have both of them, a man of color and affordable health care. Most of you listening to this program will be better off, although some will continue to grouse, I guess because it is your nature. But try to kick back and appreciate your country and the man who will be managing and leading it for the next 4 years. And just think, in 4 years, you'll get Hillary for the following four. How cool is that? Our thought for the week, project into the future. Soon this long, expensive war will end. Perhaps some of those billions will help our nation to pay off its debt and become solvent again. Gay marriage is becoming increasingly accepted. Women will still be able to get abortions. And climate change will get the scientific treatment it deserves. Any Supreme Court justices who die or retire will be replaced by progressives. And Rush Limbaugh will have to share the pulpit with scientists, people who actually know what they are talking about. Stay tuned to WVOX, your quintessential community radio station. Thank you to Bill O'Shaughnessy. I'm not sure if Howard is here today. I am Bob Lebensold, chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. Thank you very much for listening. Remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. You are here. It is now. Health and happiness to you all.